You are now listening to the Calcio Corner podcast with your host, Raffaele.
What's good? This is indeed the Calcio Corner podcast, where we cover all corners of Italian football and more. My name is Raffaele. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this, the 34th episode of the Calcio Corner podcast. Please be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, and Audioboom. You can follow my personal Twitter account. It is at Italiano Calcio. You can also follow the Twitter account for this podcast. It is at The Calcio Corner. So we will start off this 34th episode of the podcast by talking about the Italian Super Cup. It just went final about an hour ago from my time of recording this, and I wasn't sure if I was going to do a podcast after the game, but decided I wanted to give my immediate reaction to the game. Juventus, they win 2-0 over Napoli. So the first trophy of the season goes the way of the Bianconeri. Credit to them. Congrats to them. Certainly a special congratulations to Andrea Pirlo. He gets the first ever trophy in his coaching career. One of what he's hoping is just the first of many. And a trophy that I felt that he really needed to win. Talked about a little bit on the last episode of the podcast. Who was this game more important for? Juve or Napoli? Yes, I know Juve are the bigger club, right? One of the biggest clubs in Italy. You know, the expectation is always to win for the Bianconeri. But I said Juve, there was more pressure on them to win. It was more critical for them to win, not for that reason. Purely based on how this season has been playing out, they've certainly underperformed, and they're nowhere near where they would be hoping to be in the standings at this point in the season. I think all things considered, Napoli, where they are sitting in third place, I don't think they could be complaining too much. Certainly, there was more pressure on Juve, in my opinion, given the roller coaster ride that they've been on this season. And for Pirlo too, as I said, you know, his coaching career at Juve, his coaching career period, has gone off to that roller coaster ride. It's pretty much been, you know, it's either been high moments or a lot of low moments. There's been very little in between for Juve. And coming off, and I would have said that regardless, but coming off that, you know, woeful performance against Inter in the Derby d'Italia this past weekend, I felt that that only ramped up the pressure on Juve in this game. And credit to them, they certainly responded. And that was one thing I was looking for was, how would Pirlo have his team prepared and ready to go in this big game, given their poor performance against Inter over the weekend? So give your credit to Pirlo. Give your credit to these Juve players. They responded. We saw a more lively and a more involved Cristiano Ronaldo than what we saw against Inter. He scored the first goal. To make it 1-0 in the second half, Alvaro Morata, he scored the second one literally at the final whistle to make it 2-0 and seal the victory for Juve. Juve got a few key players back today, and that made the world of difference. They had Weston McKennie able to go start the game. He came off the bench against Inter, and he played solid in that Inter game when he did come off the bench, and they missed his presence in the midfield from, you know, the first whistle against Inter. So having him in the starting lineup was critical. They just got Juan Cuadrado back from the COVID list, and, you know, what a difference he had. He was certainly one of the standouts in this game for me. He was all over the field, up and down the field, you know, tracking back defensively when he was needed to, getting forward and putting pressure on the Napoli defense constantly. And just, I joked about on Twitter, I said, what's it like to have a second set of lungs? I mean, this guy's everywhere. It's nothing new. I mean, if you've been watching Cuadrado, you know this is the player he is. He could run for days. He's a little bit older version of a Hakimi at Inter who could just run and run for days and never gets tired. So certainly getting him back was critical for Juve. I thought Artur had a great game in midfield for Juventus, and he was the type of player that, you know, they could have certainly used against Inter. So having those three players back and in the starting lineup for Juve made the world of difference. Wozniak Szczęsny, he deserves also a shout out. He made a couple of great saves. Wasn't called upon often in this game, but he certainly made some great saves to deny Lozano a couple of chances. And if it wasn't for those great reaction saves, you know, we could be talking about something totally different. Now, did Juve outplay Napoli? By no means do I think they outplayed them. What struck me and I found very interesting was Napoli's game plan. They played more timid style of football than what we're used to seeing. Napoli do a lot of things well, right? They're a very complete team. I think offensively they're very strong and dynamic. Their midfield is very good, especially since they got Diego Demme back. Defensively, they are super strong as well, and they have Koulibaly back, and we saw him make a couple of big interceptions and clearances in this game. That denied Juventus a couple of other goal scoring opportunities. So they're a very complete team. But the thing that, you know, they do the best, in my opinion, is that attacking style of football that they like to play. They're very dangerous. They like to be aggressive. But they weren't in this game. It was an interesting game plan and tactical game plan that Gattuso came up with, or was it more that his players didn't, you know, execute it well? I'm not sure. Perhaps they gave Juve a little bit too much respect. Maybe they were scared of Ronaldo. I'm not sure what the case was, but I thought Napoli played a little bit more on their back foot and should have been more aggressive going forward. Insigne, for as special as a player as he is, he really drifted in and out of this game, did not really get involved and get into any type of rhythm. He obviously missed that penalty with about 10 minutes ago in the game. He pushed it wide left. That could have totally flipped the game and would have pulled the game even with 10 minutes left, and who knows what would have happened. Napoli did have another chance after that missed penalty. Lozano had a good scoring chance, and as I mentioned, Chesney made a great save. But, you know, after the game, you saw images and pictures and videos of Insigne in tears. And, you know, for him being a Neapolitan, this was certainly a difficult game to lose in general, but especially missing that penalty and knowing that he could have totally changed the outcome of this game and given his team a chance. You know, he probably feels the weight of the world on him right now that he let them down, but, you know, he's such a beloved figure in Naples. The fan base will get behind him. His teammates will support him. Certainly got to chalk it up as a bad day for Insigne, and you hope for his sake he gets it out of his mind and can, you know, go back to playing that great, beautiful style of football that he does play. But all in all, again, I can't pinpoint it on Insigne just because he missed that penalty. I didn't like the timid style that Napoli played when that's not their style at all. It's not Gattuso's personality. So I was really shocked to see that they kind of, I think they gave Juve too much credit, as I said, especially when you consider the form Juve have been in of late. I don't know why you didn't try to take it to them more and put them on their back, you know, put them on their heels rather than you playing on your heels. But regardless, got to give credit to Juventus and congrats to Pirlo getting his first title as a coach. There was also a makeup game today in Serie A. Udinese played host to Atalanta. That game ended in a 1-1 draw. Roberto Pereira, he scored within, I believe, 30 seconds of the game to give Udinese the lead. They held it for a majority of the game, and then Luis Muriel to the rescue. He scored to level it and make it 1-1. And again, that was the final scoreline. Not a dominant performance from Atalanta, not a great performance from Atalanta. And coming off of their draw against Genoa, you know, it was, again, it's two draws in a row against two teams that Atalanta probably should have beaten. Certainly, when you look at Genoa and Udinese on the schedule, you would like to think if you're Atalanta that minimum you settle for is 4 points between those two games. But in the end, they only get 2 points from those two games, so that puts them at 33 overall. They had a chance to jump into the top four with a win. They would have actually moved up to third place. They would have had 35 points, and they would have been just 8 points behind Milan and 5 behind Inter. But again, between the Genoa game over the weekend, Udinese today, to only come away with 2 points if you're Atalanta, given the form you were in coming into this weekend when you faced Genoa, it's certainly a bit surprising that they only came away with 2 points. So certainly Gasperini will have some work to do to get his side back on track. Good draw for Udinese as they try to fight off relegation. This pushes them now 4 points clear of the relegation zone, so certainly plenty of work to do. Luca Gotti, we've been talking about, I mentioned how I thought the seat was getting hot for Andrea Pirlo for obviously different reasons than why it was hot for Luca Gotti, but Luca Gotti was potentially on the verge of getting fired. They were going to, you know, probably stick with him over coming off the weekend and not change coaches with this midweek makeup game. But had he lost to Atalanta, it could have done him in. So this draw certainly buys Luca Gotti's time and allows him to keep his job at least a little bit longer. And I always kind of found that funny. That happens here even in the United States with, you know, football coaches and whatnot. It's, you know, if they don't win this game, then we're going to make a change. And then, you know, that team goes out and wins the game or whatever. In this case, you know, Luca Gotti and Udinese get a draw, and that may save his job. But, you know, what happens then when you go lose the next game? Then you pull the trigger and fire the guy. So it's kind of a little funny to me that, you know, teams do that sometimes, create these ultimatums, you know, win this game or you're fired. And then the team wins it, and then you're stuck with the guy at least for one more week or until the next loss occurs. So, you know, if you're not fully convinced that this guy is your coach anymore, and you even are pondering the possibility of firing him based off of just one game and one result, then why not just fire him, save everybody the trouble, bring in the next guy and see what type of job he could do? But, you know, I'm not calling for Luca Gotti's job, but, you know, credit to him. He got the draw, and he'll get to keep it at least perhaps until the next Udinese loss. But speaking of Udinese, Kevin Lasagna, their striker, He's been in the transfer rumors, the transfer market talks recently. He's been linked to Verona. And, you know, I've talked about it a bunch. You know, Verona, it was their issue last season. It's their issue this season. They're a very well-organized team. They're very strong defensively. They have outstanding fullback, wingback play from Faroni and Federico Di Marco. There's a lot of good on that team. We've talked about Mattia Zaccagni on this podcast a bit with Rick Hoff and his perspective on Verona a few episodes ago. Very good team. We know Silvestri is one of the top goalies in Italy that people don't know about. He's being linked to a summer move with Roma. Their big issue last season, their big issue this season, they can't score goals if their life depended on it, or at least in a consistent manner, and they don't have that real, killer number nine striker that could create those constant threats. They did sign Kalinic over the summer. He's been in and out of that lineup. It hasn't worked so far with him. But again, Kevin Lasagna being linked to to Verona. I think it'd be a good move for Verona. Is Kevin Lasagna that killer number nine striker, that clinical finisher? By no means is he. But perhaps he could benefit from a change of scenery. From his perspective, going from Udinese to Verona is probably more of a horizontal move, if you will, in terms of which club you're leaving and which club you're joining. I'm sure he would love a vertical move and to move up in club level, if you will. But he would have a chance to go from, a team fighting off relegation to a mid-table team that, albeit a very outside shot at a Europa League spot, there is, the possibility of them finishing in a Europa League spot. And if he could be that goal scorer that they need and he could, be a 15-plus goal scorer for them, then certainly maybe that would increase their chances of making an outside run at the Europa League. But I definitely like the move by Verona. I joked about it a few episodes ago that, they should make an offer to Napoli for Milik on the final day of the month. If Napoli are still stuck with him, why not just try to get him on loan and at least pay the salary and free De Laurentiis of that? Certainly, I knew that was a joke and something I just came up with on my own, but I do like them being aggressive and trying to bring in some offensive weapons. So going after Kevin Lasagna is a good move. Speaking of Milik, all indications are that a deal is imminent and in the works, and it's going to get done. He'll be off to France, and he'll be joining Marseille. Is it Milik's first choice? No, we all know he would rather go to Juve. He wanted Juve over the summer. Never happened. The big money offer didn't come in from Juve. They went with Alvaro Morata. He certainly would have loved to have joined them this month, but Juve are not looking to spend that 15 to 18 million euro to convince De Laurentiis to sell him, especially when they know that they could sign him on a free transfer over the summer, but it looks like that opportunity is going to go away because, again, with Milik off to Marseille, he will sign, obviously, a contract extension there, a new contract there, so that'll tie him to the French club, at least for the foreseeable future. So any shot of Juve signing Milik over the summer is not a possibility. Now, there were some reports in the Italian media that one of the things holding up a deal between Napoli and Marseille was that De Laurentiis wanted to include some sort of clause that perhaps prevented Marseille from selling Milik to Serie A clubs in the future, or perhaps Juve in particular. Not sure if anything like that is going to be included in the deal. I have a feeling it won't be, but certainly De Laurentiis, we know he likes to protect himself and his club from certain players, returning to Serie A and coming back to potentially bite them, especially after what happened with Higuain leaving to join Juve when Juve paid his release clause. So Milik is on his way out. I think it's good for Milik. You're 27 years old. You got the Euros coming up this summer, hopefully. And he, obviously we know he's the number two option behind Lewandowski for Poland, but they do play with both strikers at times. So, if you're Milik, you want to play, right? You're 27 years old. You don't want to be sitting on the bench and just kind of rotting away literally an entire season, an entire year of your life, or your soccer career, I should say, your cultural career. So it's a good move for him. Again, Marseille's not his first choice. I'm not sure if he wanted to really switch leagues and whatnot, but that's what's going to happen in the end. Marseille, obviously a big club in France. They have a rich history, so we'll see what he could do there. But good for Napoli to move on from Milik, get this saga behind them, and just, not that Milik was ever really an issue, but it's just better for the club to not have him there anymore. So we'll see what happens with Milik, and I wish him certainly the best of luck at Marseille. So that will do it for the 34th episode of the Calcio Corner podcast. I hope you have enjoyed it. Quick, short, abbreviated version, I know, but just wanted to give my immediate reaction to the Italian Super Cup. Once again, please be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, and Audioboom. Feel free to leave a rating and comment. That would be greatly appreciated to help us grow our content. Until next time, guys. Ciao.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Calcio Corner podcast with your host, Raffaele. If you've enjoyed this episode, please rate, review, and subscribe on your preferred podcast listening platform. We really appreciate that effort. Until next time.